Welcome to Health Cetera Radio, brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College in New York City. This is pediatric nurse practitioner Christy Westfall, reporting from the 30th Annual Chadwick Center San Diego International Conference on Child and Family Maltreatment. I've had the pleasure of attending this conference over the past 4 years and was initially introduced to this fabulous meeting by the medical director of the Audrey Hepburn Care Center at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, Dr. Karen Amagawa. Working with Dr. Amagawa for 2 years on the CHLA Cares team really shaped my passion to serve within this vulnerable population, and my work continues here today with the Chadwick Center at Rady Children's Hospital as a pediatric sexual assault forensic examiner under our new medical director, Dr. Lynn Coffold. The San Diego International Conference on Child and Family Maltreatment provides an evidence-based, multidisciplinary opportunity for the discussion of the prevention, investigation, education, research, treatment, and the prosecution of child abuse. The sessions at this conference offer a little bit for everyone who wants to further their child advocacy efforts. Upon my return here from my healthcare mission in El Cercado in the Dominican Republic with the Hahn School of Nursing at the University of San Diego, I admit I've had a few feelings of frustration and helplessness at my limited capacity to address child protection within that area. Child abuse occurs throughout the world, and today on Health Cetera Radio, we're going to delve into how health professionals can actually help. Today marks day two of a very special pre-conference institute at the San Diego International Conference on Child and Family Maltreatment. Welcome to the inside scoop on Branch Training of Trainers for I Can Help. Branch, standing for Building Regional Alliances to Nurture Child Health. This session provides an introduction to child abuse and neglect for health professionals who are interested in helping out in low-resource settings. Joining me on the show today is lead instructor of the institute, Dr. Aaron Miller. Dr. Miller has extensive expertise in the realm of child abuse and neglect. He's spent over 10 years practicing in New York in the Bronx and has also served as a child abuse pediatrician for the LA County Department of Health and Human Services. He founded Branch in 2013 with the mission of empowering leadership and child advocacy in low-income communities. This has led to his amazing work in Malawi, where he's helped lead in the creation of a countrywide system of one-stop centers that are focused on child abuse and domestic violence. I have to admit, I do follow him on Twitter, which you can too, and he'll tell you where, and I'm a fan of his work. Welcome, Dr. Miller.
Thank you, Christy. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, how long have you been practicing in the world of child abuse and neglect?
For 12 years.
How did it start?
It started during my pediatric residency at New York Hospital Cornell, where I worked with a great mentor, Dr. Phil Hayden, who helped me see this vulnerable population and the unique way in which I could help advocate for them and provide the help and support that they could need and for their parents, so that they could have safe, stable, nurturing homes.
So how is the education different as a pediatrician versus a specialist in child abuse? How did you go about, I guess, getting your specialty within that?
To become board certified in child abuse pediatrics, you have to first complete a 3-year residency in pediatrics, followed by a child abuse pediatrics fellowship, which is currently 3 years. I went and worked in the Bronx for 4 years with Dr. Olga Jimenez, and I was later able to take the board certification for child abuse.
Any tips out there for future child abuse pediatricians just waiting to practice?
The field is still very young, and so if you can find any physician who is an expert in child abuse and spend time working with them, it would be very welcome to this field to grow in this role.
Are there any organizations that you'd recommend to medical students or, I mean, within any of the disciplines that if somebody was interested in pursuing a career in child abuse or maltreatment that they could look into for further information?
The American Academy of Pediatrics has a section on child abuse and neglect, and also ISPCAN, which is the International Society for Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect, is a multidisciplinary society for diagnosis and treatment and prevention of child abuse and neglect.
So I'm so excited to be interviewing you today because you created this amazing branch program, which again stands for Building Regional Alliances to Nurture Child Health. What was your inspiration for this amazing program? What are the goals of it? Tell me everything.
I actually resisted the urge of starting my own nonprofit for many years. Who am I to start my own nonprofit organization? The reason I ended up starting it in 2013 is because there are so many organizations that have a multidisciplinary focus that there needed to be an organization that just focuses on the medical side so that I can spend all of my time raising money to make sure that the medical side of these programs receives enough attention to grow that work.
And what are the goals? What's the mission of Branch?
Branch's mission is to develop the capacity of health systems in low-income countries to address violence as a public health issue. So we partner with ministries of health and medical schools and nursing schools to implement child maltreatment curriculums so that they can develop a multidisciplinary response to child abuse and neglect.
Do you have many different members from different disciplines on your team currently, and who are they?
Well, in the countries that we work, we make sure that our interventions are multidisciplinary. Right now, we're a very young nonprofit. So in Malawi, when I developed a training of trainers for the one-stop centers for child abuse and domestic violence, my trainers include doctors, nurses, social workers, police, and prosecutors.
That's amazing. So Malawi, how did it all start there for you?
After working for many years in the Bronx and being involved in some high-profile cases where children were neglected and died, I knew I wanted to be involved in the policy end. And so I went back to school on evenings and weekends at Columbia to get a master's in public administration. And it was there that one of my classmates, who has a foundation in Malawi, said, "If you design a program for Malawi, I will fund it." And 5 months later, I was in Malawi.
How many times have you been to Malawi now?
I've been there 6 times, and I've spent a total of about 6 months. I'm headed back there in 2 weeks to go for another 2 months.
All right. So you've told me how it started. Where are things today with your outreach in Malawi, and what's your vision for the future with your services and your programs there?
Well, the key with any type of program dealing with child maltreatment and intimate partner violence is to have many strong partners. In Malawi, my funding partner is UNICEF, and they've given me a contract to develop the capacity of creating these 21 one-stop centers for child abuse and intimate partner violence. To continue to grow, we want to find a strong university in the U.S. with whom we can partner and apply for grants, so that we can partner with universities in Eastern and Southern Africa and eventually across the world to spend at least half of our time doing child abuse prevention, positive parenting programs, sex abuse prevention programs, as well as the current diagnosis and treatment programs.
Are you in any other countries currently?
Well, we're very excited to have provided our first grant to Dr. Dina Nazer, who does work in Amman, Jordan. This past summer, with our funding, she trained 5 different groups of doctors, over 120 doctors, on the diagnosis and treatment of child abuse and neglect, and was able to establish new partnerships with treatment centers to provide counseling for survivors. So we're very excited about that, and our grant is 2 years, so she'll be returning next summer.
Do you have a laundry list of any other countries that you'd love to do work in if you could pick anywhere in the world?
Well, our mission is to create regional alliances, right, to nurture child health. So we're currently exploring opportunities in Eastern and Southern Africa. And while we're small, we want to make sure that we stay focused and not try to do everything. So we're going to start with Eastern and Southern Africa, but eventually we hope to grow, you know, across the world.
You're here at the conference to provide some very important training for healthcare professionals who are interested in learning more about child abuse and neglect in low-resource communities. Do you mind telling us a little bit just about how you came to come up with the information in your program, how you developed the curriculum, and just a little about this institute?
Well, we developed the curriculum starting about 4 years ago within the Helfer Society. ISPCAN asked us to help develop an international curriculum, and so Dr. Lynn Koffold from Rady Children's Hospital and I decided to co-edit a curriculum where we got 13 other contributing authors from across the country and Canada and Europe to contribute modules on sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and neglect.
And for our listeners, what type of abuse is most prevalent in the pediatric population?
The most common form of child maltreatment by far is neglect. Second most common is physical abuse. And of course, sexual abuse is very prevalent also.
Is this true in all the places internationally that you visited?
Yes, it's unfortunately very consistent across the world that neglect is most common and physical abuse and sexual abuse are also very common.
Seems like there's quite a lot of information that you would need to filter down to be able to give this institute and get the curricula down to X amount of hours. How did you go about doing that?
It took many months, many rounds of editing, a lot of patience and stubborn determination, but eventually it came together, and we're quite excited about it.
Awesome. So may I be so bold to ask you if you wouldn't mind giving us a sneak peek as to some of the content that was provided in the sessions yesterday and today?
Well, the core curriculum for I Can Help, which is Introduction to Child Abuse and Neglect for Health Professionals in Low-Resource Settings, it's a six-hour curriculum divided into five modules. So it's child maltreatment as a public health issue, how to take a medical history, which incorporates best practices of forensic interviewing, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and the last is domestic violence and emotional abuse. As a training of trainers, though, we included extra modules, including motivational interviewing.
So what exactly is motivational interviewing?
Motivational interviewing is something that therapists and social workers have been doing for years, but we in the medical field never received training in it, unfortunately. Motivational interviewing is an acknowledgement that we are very good at educating patients, but we are not very good at connecting with them to help motivate them, to evoke from themselves the need to change. So motivational interviewing is much more about asking questions and inquiring rather than prescribing an answer. So asking questions open-ended so that they will come up with answers and realize themselves what they might be able to do to take the next steps for a healthier decision.
So this is essentially empowerment communication.
Yes, it's empowerment communication. You can use it with patients, with colleagues, with potential partners. It has a wide range of uses, and it's the healthy way to build a partnership.
All right. Well, I'm excited to learn a little bit about motivational interviewing myself. Do you have any recommendations for places that people could go if they wanted to get training in motivational interviewing?
Well, yes, there are many online trainings. There's also one of the seminal books is called Motivational Interviewing, Third Edition, Helping People Change by Miller and Rolnick. If you buy that book, it's very user-friendly. It gives lots of examples of things to say for the different scenarios, but also there are many trainings available for this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Health Cetera Radio, and gracias to the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College for making it happen. Reporting live from the 30th Annual Chadwick Center International Conference on Child and Family Maltreatment via Rady Children's Hospital, this is pediatric nurse practitioner Christy Westfall.